there was one move you made that when I read about it in the paper, I was like, yeah, that's not going to work. And it did work for over a decade. What possessed you to look at a guy like Chris Rude and go FM classic rock, morning jock, deep album cuts, all that, sports talk? And what Chris brought to the station, it was indispensable for that. I mean, the entire time, I learned how to do be better with sponsors and advertisers and all that, and recorded spots and all that from Chris.
You know what? I'm glad you bring up Chris. He, to this day, he is still one of the most talented disc jockeys that Atlanta has ever seen. He just has a natural ability and everything that he does, and I'm a big fan of Chris. And he and I sat down. We had lunch at Bones one day, and we had about a three-hour lunch talking about why I thought he would be great for sports talk. And his initial honest question was, I have no idea about the format or how I would fit into the format. And I said, my biggest concern with sports radio was you had a lot of former athletes, former coaches, just sports talk guys that didn't have a radio background. You could take the overnight person at Star 94 or another radio station in town, and he or she had more formal broadcast training to be a disc jockey than the vast majority of people doing sports talk radio in prime time. And so yet you take a guy like Chris, who was a radio pro, understood the mechanics of a morning show, a darn good morning show, and then I said, Chris, we can put people around you to build a show around you, but I want somebody to run the mechanics of a morning show, because most sports radio mechanically is not very good. It's just a bunch of guys yapping all day long and giving strong opinions, but you know, look at the technical side of the business, mechanics aren't very good. Rude brought unbelievable mechanics to the show, and I think it had a profound effect on the rest of the radio station.
David Dickey, our boss, is with us. You went to Bones with him? You and I went to Moe's when we met.
Went to Starbucks.
I had a coupon.
I mean, yeah. Bones.
You got me a hot chocolate. You got him a ribeye?
He just went to Bones. Anyway, I want to talk to you about two things here, because the evolution of the way this whole game has changed, it went from taking calls, which, if you think about it, it's the only format of entertainment in the world where we're like, here, take our show, right? It was always this, let the fans talk, which I think there's an element of that. But it's now evolved to, like, I think sports talk has gotten a lot more intelligent. I think it's gotten a lot more in-depth. I think it's just a different sound to it over the last 20 or 25 years. And I think it's one thing that, the 25 to 50-year-old guy can listen, but I think you have 20-year-old dudes, 30-year-old women. I think it speaks to so many more people because it's evolved so much.
I think it has. Before I answer that, I think two points I got to get across. One, I've got to give my wife, Paula, a shout-out, because if not, I'm on the couch tonight.
Smart man.
And number two, Hoyt, if you use any of this against me in the future, I'm going to drop you like third period English.
Okay? Yeah, but it's a really nice couch, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's a sectional.
So, Trithium leather, yes.
I'm sorry, what would you say again? I'm kidding. You know, the evolution of sports talk has changed. I think, what exactly was your point again? I never listened to you anyway.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Let's talk about one more part of this before we go. I thought it was a huge deal for us when we landed the Braves or any station, because in this market it was different. Like, in other cities, sports stations got teams. They had relationships. Here it was always locked into WSB or WGST with the Braves, and they had the Hawks for the longest time. Like, that changed, and I think and for them and for us, I mean, the partnerships, the way they work, I think is, again, another big step in where we are.
Yeah, I think it is, and having some fun. But to answer your last question, I think the one thing that the evolution of this format has gone very well, the thing that I'm most proud of, I meet listeners, I meet even clients who are 28, 30, 32, who tell me they love the radio station. I say, that's great. And they say, no, let me tell you how much I love the radio station. When I was 14, my parents would pick me up in carpool, and the only station we could agree on was the Fan.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to listen to their station. They didn't want to listen to mine. Now I'm in carpool picking up my 6- or 7-year-old, and the only station we can listen to and agree on is the Fan. And I think we've created a sort of a lifestyle platform that now has become multi-generational for people of all ages, and that's what I love about sports. The format has evolved because sports has evolved, and it touches so many aspects of our lives. And we can be a fan in good times. We have the money to celebrate it and entertain friends and clients. And in bad times, quite frankly, it's an escape. And it's an escape from politics. It's an escape from marital problems. It's an escape from health issues. And it's a way for us just to passionately root for a team and become a member of that community. Even though the team doesn't necessarily always respond to us, we know that we can put on the jersey and we can support that team and do our part and hopefully, in our minds, be a part of the wins and losses that they experience on the field, so, which I think is great. And I think sports talk has evolved because we're able to tap into that passion. We're able to tap into that fandom. And I think what we've done, and a secret of our success with all of our great partners out there, we have built this platform, this ongoing discussion, and have found ways to weave our clients and our partners into the fabric of what we do every day in a way that's not an advertisement. But as I like to sum it up, I know a guy. It's ultimately we're able to make a referral to close friends, about close friends, and connect people and businesses together. And as a result, I think we serve our listeners not only in the form of entertainment and information, but also with answers to the problems that they have in terms of a roof, a door, a car, or whatever they might need. And as a result, obviously, we're helping our business partners as well.
Yeah. I came over in October of 2008. And I didn't know you, had never met you. I didn't even know when I went to my initial meeting, there were three people there. I didn't know who was who. But I learned pretty quickly that two things. First of all, there is no forcing David to make a decision. And secondly, when he does decide to act, there's no medium setting on your dial. You go all in. And I'm going to tell you, a couple of years after I came over here and you announced that we had the Braves and we're going to go for 6 weeks to spring training, I said, he's off his rocker. There's nothing to do in Orlando for 6 weeks around spring training. It's indispensable now. And so just talk about that whole relationship, whether it was the Thrashers back in the day with Georgia Tech, with the Braves, whatever. Those are really the names on the stationery.
They are. But, you know, our whole point from the very beginning was we built this. We inherited the Georgia Tech relationship. But we really wanted to build a great platform independent of teams. Because ultimately, if you don't own the team, you don't control your destiny as it relates to that team. Now, we tried to buy the Braves in 07 and came up a little bit short. But my family, we really love the business of baseball and we love the Braves. And we felt that it was a great fit in what we do and our core DNA with college football. And I think demographically, geographically, they make sense together. So we always felt that if we could build a great sports talk radio brand, with great people talking sports all the time, great advertisers, great listeners, then at some point we could plug in some of the professional teams. And it started with the Atlanta Thrashers, which I wish we had the NHL back here. I love watching hockey, especially live. But that then led its way to the Atlanta Hawks, and we had a great time working with the Hawks. But we always had our sights on the Atlanta Braves. And for us, it just fits what we do, and it fits sort of who we are. And it only took me about 15 years to make that sales pitch and get it right. But ultimately, we felt that it was beneficial to us and that we would give the Braves the best broadcast they've ever had. And I believe that we do just that.
David Dickey, the man behind the operation. By the way, look on your calendar. If there's a day open you want to do Bones with us, I mean, you know, just as a kind of a make good.
Like more of a lunch thing.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that.
That means you're not going to get back to us. And honestly, congratulations. 25 years, that's in this world that we live in of media and entertainment, that's a heck of an accomplishment.
You know, I'll leave you with this. I am just particularly proud that we've been able to do what we've done and build what we've built, and with the people that we've done it with, the consistency and the continuity is almost unparalleled. And that's unfortunate for our industry, but it's fortunate for us and for our clients and partners and our listeners. And that, you know, as I said in an email to our staff earlier today, I think our best years are absolutely ahead of us.
David, it's a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Guys, thank you.
Very much. Remember, my youngest is 5. College is a long way away.
Where am I at?
We'll work with him. We'll talk to him. We'll get on a schedule.
It's like a bone. A couple of sides.
I mean, just something.
Start with a Caesar. Go like the lobster mac.
I felt wanted.
I got hot chocolate. I mean,
wait, we split queso, which I enjoy cheese dip, but a little much. Close her up.